Isaiah chapter 42. This chapter in Isaiah has so many before and afterward, or is a prophecy of the coming Christ, prophecy of the Christ who came. Isaiah 42 is a declaration of the coming Christ. Salvation is to know this Christ. Salvation is to know God, is to know Christ. Salvation is to have Jesus Christ revealed to you. Who He is, what He did. To come to know Him in relationship. Salvation is to have Christ revealed in you. That's a relationship. That's experiencing Him. And salvation, Isaiah 45 says, salvation is in a look. He said, look unto me and be ye saved. Salvation is in a look. Looking or beholding Christ. The Lord can use the mere reading of this portion right here to eternally save a soul. That's how serious what we're doing is. Look at verse 1 of Isaiah 42. It says, behold my servant. Behold my servant. My servant. Chapter 52 calls him his righteous servant. Verse 3 of chapter 52, he says, chapter 52, verse 13, he says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently or prosper. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high, my servant. He shall prosper in what he came to do. He shall be exalted because of that. He shall be extolled. He shall be very high. My servant, God said. Chapter 53 says, my servant, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. God's righteous servant. God says, behold him. Behold my servant. Behold my Christ. My servant. My servant. Men love to boast of their service to the Lord, don't they? Oh, how men love to talk about how they serve the Lord. But there's only one who ever really lived who served the Lord. One who ever lived, one man that truly served God as man should. Served the glory of God in everything he did. Served God's glory. Served God's people. Served God's glory and God's people with a pure motive, absolutely pure. No selfish motive at all. Nothing for himself. With a pure motive, a perfect heart, a heart perfectly geared toward serving God. Every day, every hour, every moment in the service of his God, he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And I'm going to do it every day. Every hour, every moment. As a 12-year-old boy, he said, I must be about my Father's business. And God says, behold my servant. What a servant. What a worthy servant. What a one who has served me, and oh how well. My servant, says God. John says, behold the Lamb. Oh, what we could say about that. John says, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. There's salvation in beholding this one, this servant, this lamb. Even Pilate, one of his enemies, said, "Behold the man. Behold this man. This man." So God says in verse 1 of Isaiah 42, "Behold my servant." Behold him. Look at him. Hold him. Hold on to him. Be held by him. Be held by him. That's salvation, is to be held by him. It's to behold him and be holden by him. And you'll be from that day forward beholden to him. "Behold my servant." Look upon him. There's life for a look. Look, like Moses looked at that serpent on, or like Moses, the people looked at that serpent on a pole that Moses upheld. Christ said, "If I be lifted up, men look upon me, they'll be saved." Behold my servant. And he says, "My servant whom I uphold." As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be held up. The Scripture says, "God, whom God hath set forth." Now that is set up. God has set him up, set him apart, lifted him up above, separate, one of yet separate from sinners, holy, harmless, undefiled. God hath exalted him, hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. I read that to you in Isaiah 52. He said, "My servant shall be exalted and extolled, very high, very high, my servant." Philippians 2:9 says, "Because of what he did, God has given him a name which is above every name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he's high." How high? He's Lord over the universe. Lord. God says, "Behold my servant who served me well and served you also well, and whom I uphold, whom I exalt, whom I uphold, whom I have set forth." Read it. Verse 1. "Mine elect." Not one of my elect. "Mine elect." "Mine elect." Psalm 89 verse 19 says, God says, "I have exalted one, chosen from among the people." One man, God said he approved of. He said it from heaven. "This is a man I'm well pleased in." Who's your choice, God? This man. That's my choice. Accepted because of his works. One man was accepted by God on the basis of his works. That's why he came. That's why he came. And everyone else is accepted in him. Everyone is elect in him. That's what Ephesians 1 verse 4 says. According as he hath chosen us, where? Where? Somebody listening? In him. In Christ. Before the foundation of the world. He is the elect of God. The only one worth choosing. Did you ever choose up sides when you're playing some sport when you were a kid, huh? Who'd you choose? Who was your first choice? Huh? One of you was captain of the team. Who'd you choose? Who was your first choice? You'd choose the best, wouldn't you? I want the best. I want the best. God just chose one. He chose one. Chose Christ first. He's the firstborn among many brethren, the Scripture. Mine elect. And everybody else is chosen in him. Chosen in him. Because of him. A man approved of God. Read on. He says, "In whom my soul delighteth." Mine elect, whom I uphold. Mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. Says, "The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake." You parents, do you love your children? Oh, the Scripture says God's Son is his well-beloved. Do you love your obedient children? Oh, how you delight in your obedient children. Oh, God says, I'm well pleased. And as I said, he couldn't even help himself. God couldn't help himself, had to say it out loud. From heaven. God, who doesn't speak from heaven anymore, he spoke again. Couldn't help himself. Said it twice. That's my boy. That's my son. This is my well-beloved son. My only begotten son in whom I am what? Well pleased. Oh, I'm so well pleased. Look at him, would you? Look at him. You better look at him. We better look at him. And it says he's well pleased for his righteousness' sake. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness, the scripture said. Look at this righteous man. Oh, God loves him. He hates iniquity. The holy God hates iniquity. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. He loveth all workers of holiness. Who's that? Just one. Never has been but one. God says, I'm well pleased for his righteousness. Would you look at him? Would you just look at him? Well pleased for his righteousness. And I tell you, I've looked at him, and I can say this, I'm well pleased with his righteousness too. That's the essence of being a believer, and being well pleased with his righteousness. And everything else is stinking rag. Well, I'm satisfied with his righteousness. Satisfied. God says, I delight in him. Look at verse 1 again. It says, I put my spirit upon him. I have put my spirit upon him as sanctioning him. As sanctioning him. That's what Paul said. He was justified in the Spirit. And John said, and the Lord said to John, upon whom you see the Holy Spirit descending, that's my son. I'm going to sanction him. I'm going to show you that this is my son, and whom the one on whom you see my Holy Spirit descending, and even the angels of God ascending and descending. That's my son. And John said, I beheld the Spirit of God descend upon him in the form of a dove. Said, that's him. The Spirit of God. As if God was anointing his king. That was the anointing of his king. When he reached 30 years old, God sent that Spirit, anointing his king, showing the world, this is the one. This is the one. Read verse 1 again. It says, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Everybody in here is a Gentile. Everybody in here by nature, by birth, is a Gentile. This ought to interest us. He came, this servant of God, his elect, in whom he delights, upon whom the Holy Spirit is. He comes to do something for Gentiles. What? Bring forth judgment to the Gentile. To judge them? No, he said, I didn't come to judge. Save. Judge their sins. Justify them from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. You see, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He came to justify the Gentile. Justify sinner. Justify many. That's what he said in Isaiah 53:10. My righteous servant shall justify many. Not all, but many. How many? Many. More than the sands of the seashore. More than that. More than the stars of the sky. He shall justify many. And that's how God can be just and justify them that believe on Christ. By Christ living for them, imputing his righteousness and shedding his blood to pay for, to satisfy justice against them. Now, here's the phrase, verse 2. Here's the phrase we dwelled on Wednesday night and will again today and tonight. Here's the phrase we dealt with. And this is what I want to draw your attention to the rest of the time. This servant of God, this Christ of God, Jesus Christ. It says here in prophecy, verse 2, he shall not cry, nor lift up or cause his voice to be heard in the street. In other words, it says he shall not raise his voice in the street. He shall not raise his voice in the street. And we said this Wednesday night, the Lord Jesus Christ never stood on the street corner and preached per se. And that great day of the feast, and in the temple and other places, he didn't go around beckoning men to hear him. He didn't go around trying to get people to believe on him. That's what these public heralds do, you know, they stand on the corner and so forth, beckoning people to hear. He didn't go around. He tells the preacher to get up on the housetop. Lift up your voice, he said, at time. But Christ didn't do that. He didn't go around trying to get people to believe on him. No. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 12, and you don't have to turn, but there's an incident in Matthew 12 where he healed several people, and after he healed them, he said, now don't make me known. Don't tell anybody. He did that another place. I think it was a blind man. He said, don't you just go offer the sacrifice of Moses. Don't tell anybody that I'm the Christ. Don't do it. Do you remember that? Don't do it. Our Lord never tried to get people to believe on him. No, the great shepherd, you see, came. He came into this world looking for his sheep. The good shepherd, the Lord, the shepherd of sheep, came into this world looking for his sheep, and he knew them all. It's not like he was looking around, didn't know who they were or where they were. Are there any sheep out there? No. He said, I know them, and I call them, and they'll follow me. It's proof of who I am. It's proof of my power. It's proof they're my sheep. He came, he knew where they were, he knew them by name, he knew where they were, and he went to where they were. They didn't even come to him. He went to where they were. That's the shepherd. And he calmly, sometimes quietly, very deliberately, called them off. And they followed him. They followed him. Matthew. And Matthew got up and followed him. Peter, Andrew, come on, get out the boat. And they left their whole livelihood. They left their job, home, and family at a word of man. Follow me. That's power, isn't it? That's a shepherd. Right there's two sheep. James, John, come on. You're them too. You're sheep. Zacchaeus, get down from the tree. Come on. Mary, Martha, and so on and so forth. Sinner, sinner, calmly, deliberately called them by name. He didn't raise his voice. But there were a few times. There were a few times, a few rare times, when our Lord did raise his voice. Seven times are recorded in the Scripture. We've already looked at three of those. And this one here tonight, look over at John 12, tonight we'll look at another one. But in John chapter 12, this is in this order, the fourth time. The fourth time that our Lord raised his voice. Seven times are recorded. This is the fourth time recorded that it says our Lord raised his voice. And we're going to deal with this one time this morning. And I thought about this. Whenever the voice of the Son of God is heard, whenever the voice of the Son of God was heard, heaven and earth should have stopped and listened, shouldn't it? Whenever the Son of God opened his mouth and his voice was heard, heaven and earth should have stopped and listened, shouldn't it? Heaven did. heaven did. Even God talks. That's what's so wrong with all this talking going on today and all this share session. What do we need to have share, anybody share anything with us for? We need to hear from one person. And we can't because too many people are talking. Right? When the voice of the Son of God is heard, heaven and earth should stop. Heaven did. Earth should have. But what about this? If he raises his voice, in other words, if the Son of God says in a quiet, deliberate voice, and he did, he sat on this earth, and he sat and he opened his voice and said, blessed. He didn't holler, didn't scream, he said, blessed. Blessed. And he said, a sower went forth to sow. And on he spoke. Earth ought to stop. Ought to stop spinning. And listen. Be still. And listen to God speak. Right? If he raises his voice. If he raises his voice. My dad had a very manly voice. And when my dad spoke, you know, I should have listened. But I'll tell you a time when I did listen. And when he raised that voice, especially when he called both my names, Paul Edward, ooh, buddy, I stopped what I was doing. Stopped my talking. And I listened to what he had to say. Well, the Son of God raised his voice. Holds a lot more weight than anybody else does. The Lord of glory raised his voice. And I believe this scripture applies today if you will hear his voice. They say I have a small voice. People have complained they can't hear me very well. I mean, that's not fine. I endeavor to. We use all kind of things to try to. So you can hear me. Well, today, if you will hear his voice, the scripture says, harden not your heart. His voice. There's one voice you need to hear. You may hear it through a still, small voice. All right, let's read it. John 12, look at verse 37. John 12, verse 37 and 38. Though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. How many miracles has the Lord God done for us? What's that sitting beside you, Deborah? That's a miracle. Huh? A son. Some of you have many of those like such miracles. It's a miracle. Still a miracle, isn't it? A miracle. What about the good job you have? We're living in tough times, Steve, isn't it? Lean times, hard times. Unemployment's high. People looking for jobs. You got a good job, don't you, buddy? Where'd that miracle come from? And on the list goes, right? Miracles. Miracles. That woman sitting beside you, Stan, why in the world did she marry you? That's a miracle. Isn't it? You really believe that, don't you? I do. I mean, about mine. And yours. Yeah, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. A woman that'll stay with us, a man that'll stay with us, a miracle. It's a miracle. And on the list of miracles go, doesn't it? Huh? Health. Charles Ross, 70-some years old. You've never really been that sick, have you? You're in good health. That's a miracle. These people have been sick their lives. Though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That water falling from the sky we've been talking about this morning, that's a miracle. Isn't it a miracle? Everything is sustained by just water falling from the sky. This planet lives because water falls from the sky. And we can't do anything to make it fall from the sky, right? That everything depends upon water falling from the sky. And mercifully and gracious, it just comes. That's a miracle, isn't it? And though he had done so many miracles before then, yet they believed not on him. Everybody in here ought to be a believer. Every person in here ought to be a believer. Why are we here this morning? I said this so many times. One reason, basically, to worship our God, to thank our God. What have you got to be thankful for? Anything? You ask a believer, you say everything. You got a day or two, I'll tell you everything I've got to be. And that won't even cover it. So many miracles, yet some believe not. Verse 38 says that, and he said this would happen, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm there means the power. Who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? The power of God. Who hath believed? Who does believe? Who believes in here? Who believes and why? Why do you believe? Because the arm of the Lord has been revealed to you. You did nothing decide to believe one day, did you? Uh-uh. But God chose you to believe. Hath chosen you to believe all that the prophets have said, all the fathers, all the apostles, what our Lord himself said. Christ said, all thy children, all God's people shall be taught. And great shall be the peace of thy children. He said, all the Father giveth me, they'll come to me. They'll believe me. Look back at Isaiah 43 very quickly. Isaiah 43. Look at verse 10. We talk about election quite a bit here, don't we? I mention election quite a bit. I hope the way I deal with this is not just talking about election, but talking about the God who elects. I hope He is the one we're extolling, not a doctrine. I hope it's He that we're worshiping, not a doctrine. Election is a person choosing persons. Isaiah 43:10, he says to all believers, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen. Here's what he's chosen us to see and be, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Henry, you believe that man that walked years ago is the Son of God? God? You believe He's God? He said, you're my chosen, whom I have chosen to know and believe and understand that I am He. God's elect, God's chosen children, God's sheep, they will hear. He said, you're my sheep. I've chosen you. I've come for you. I've come calling you. You're going to hear me. And you believe. And you come to Christ. Those who do not hear, believe, come, they're not sheep. They're not sheep. And they would not believe. They would not believe and could not believe. Christ said that in John 6:44. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. He said the same thing in verse 65. The Father must draw us. Look back at the text in John 12. Look back there. So he said, in quoting Isaiah, who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? God's elect, that's who. Verse 39 says, therefore could they could not believe. Read it. Because Isaiah said, and he's quoting Isaiah 6, God hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. They're blind already by nature. They're hard-hearted already by nature and by choice. And the way that God blinds their eyes and hardens their heart, listen to me now. Listen to me now. Watch it now. The way God blinds hearts and blinds eyes and hardens heart, the way He does it, you see, they're blind already by nature. They're hard already, right? The way He does it is to leave them alone. And they get more blind. They get more hard. They get more hard. You see, the Word of God, if the Word of God is not a savor of life to some, if the Word of God to you right now is not precious to you, if the Word of God doesn't mean anything to you right now, it means nothing to you. It means nothing to you. And what will it do? But the more you hear, the more it'll add to your condemnation, our condemnation. If the Word of God is not a savor of life to you, that means it's a savor of death. If you don't like hearing it, what is the opposite of that? And if you don't love hearing it, what is the opposite of that? You don't want to hear it. And the more I keep saying, the less you want to hear of it. And it hardens hearts. I'm looking at the face of somebody right now who's, it's written all over their face. They're saying, I'll be glad when this is over. Rain, when it falls, doesn't soften it. It makes it worse. Is that right? Some of you have some unplowed ground. I have lots of it called hard pan. Does rain help it? Does rain helping to soften hard pan? Makes it worse. It just runs off. It takes off whatever good soil's there to begin with until you got nothing but rock. And nothing's going to penetrate. This is what I'm doing right now. Reading the words of the Son of God is so important. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Know how you harden your heart? Turn it off. I've had all that I can handle. And I fear for those who hear it time and time and time again. I fear for them. Those that hear it time and time and time and time again and never commit, it never makes an effect on them. As a matter of fact, it does the opposite effect. It seems to be doing the opposite effect. They become hardened, gospel hardened. I see it often. I'm seeing it now. It says God left them alone. God blinded their eyes, hardened their heart. Verse 42, now look down here. But it says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on Him. Many believed on Him. Believed on Him. Oh my. Did they now? Did they trust in Christ? They become followers of Christ, disciples of Christ. That's a believer. Were they regenerated? Huh? No. Brother Niver preached a message one time on you all that went to Cherokee heard it. On some that believe but are not saved. Faith that doesn't save. Believe Him. There were some who believed. These were some of those who believed in the signs and the wonders and the miracles and so forth. And this good man, as today. But they didn't confess him. Look at it. It says they did not confess him, verse 42, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They didn't come out for Christ against the world. They didn't denounce everything else in favor of Christ. They didn't renounce their former... You know, when God reveals the gospel to you, you renounce everything. When God reveals Christ to you, you renounce everything else, everything and everyone else. You renounce your former religion. People that are so dead set on saying that they were saved before they heard the gospel. I have my doubts. You renounce it all. You confess Him. If you didn't know the true God and the true Christ, you're not saved, right? And when you come to know the true God and the true Christ, you confess Him. And what you do with that is you confess that everything else... I was an idol worshiper at one time. That other God and that other Christ were false. This is the Christ. And they're baptized. They renounce their former religion, their profession, their righteousness, their learning, everything about them. They renounce it as dung, as loss, a lie. And they come out, and this is what a believer does. He comes out and confesses Jesus Christ as all and in all. Christ is all their salvation. Christ is all their wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Christ is all their religion. Christ is all their hope of acceptance. Christ is all their need. Christ is all. And nothing, everything else is nothing at all. That's what it is to confess Christ. And these didn't. It says, verse 42 and 43, it says, because they would be put out of the synagogue, they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Our Lord just said that back in verse 25. Look at it. Look back there. Verse 25. And I won't be much longer. Please listen. Look. Our Lord just said, God help me. Just telling you what the Son of God is saying here. May God give somebody ears to hear. The Lord said in verse 25, he that loveth his life is going to lose it. These men loved their present life. They loved their name. They loved their reputation. They loved their whatever, their civic standing. They loved their church standing, if you will. They loved their social advantages. They loved their friends and neighbor. That's fine. And not more than Christ, it's not. They were not willing to lose their lives. They were not willing to be called fools for Christ's sake. They loved their present life and they saw no need of Christ and His gospel. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God, more than acceptance with God, more than God's Son. I feel like there's some in here this very morning, just like that. You know, there have been some people leave here in the past. One lady in particular I remember. And you know, people, I really believe there's some people who they're not really saved, and yet they profess to be, and it would prove to be a great embarrassment someday if somebody thought they weren't. So the way they get out of it by saving face is to disprove or disbelieve the preacher or some of the people of the church or whatever. I really believe some people who leave are relieved when they go. Believing certain things, rumors or whatever, grasping, looking for something to give them a way out. I really believe that people like that. Because they never really enjoyed this thing to begin with. That's just one reason, I believe. Never really loved the gospel and loved Christ to begin with. So whatever comes up, persecution, this is what our Lord said in the parable of the sower. He said some fell on stony ground. It sprung up for a little bit, looked pretty good, but when the fowls of the air came, it snatched it away, you know. Or when the trials came, when the sun came out, it scorched it, it withered. Persecution comes. Rumors abound. Trouble starts. Things start. Trials come. They live. They leave. Christ never was anything to them. Never was. Couldn't be. When our Lord preached on and said some hard things, it said many walked no more with Him from that day forward. And He turned to the disciples and He said, will you also go away? And they said, Lord, where are we going to go? We can't. You're everything to us. See, Christ is either all or He's nothing at all. Nothing at all. And I pray that it is not thus with thee. That it is not so with you. That you're looking for a reason to quit. I hope not. I hope not. In that case, you'll believe everything that comes and goes. You'll believe it all. You'll grasp Him. That's a word in season to someone here. Verse 44. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And this is when the Son of God hollered. This is when He hollered. How do I know they're not saved? Because He raised His voice. That's when He raised His voice. When He shouted. And I'll not do it. I can't mimic the Lord. No man spake like this man. And He says, you believe Me? Look at it. Verse 44. He that believeth on Me believeth not on Me, but on Him that sent Me. You believe God? Oh, how men and women boast of their belief in God. All their talk of God. No man or woman believes and knows God apart from Jesus Christ. None. Talked to a lady several years ago when I first made her acquaintance. And as they always do before a preacher, they like to let you know just how religious they are. And I hadn't spoken to her more than 5 minutes till she said, oh, I believe God. Well, do you now? I believe in God. That's what she said. I believe in God. Well, James said the devils do that. And they tremble. They fear God. I believe in God. Do you reckon that woman ever comes to hear the gospel, which is proof of loving, knowing, and believing in this God? No. Well, she believes in God. But no man has seen God, you see, at any time. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, He hath declared Him. No man believes in God who doesn't love Jesus Christ. Nobody knows God who doesn't know Jesus Christ. Salvation is to know God. This is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God. Nobody does apart from Jesus Christ. Nobody does who doesn't know the gospel. Nobody does who doesn't believe the gospel. Nobody does who doesn't confess Christ. Nobody does. Disciples of Christ. Lovers of Christ. Followers of Christ. And renouncers of everything else. This is the line drawn in the sand. This is the line drawn on this, in the sand. Who, when Joshua, who is on the Lord's side? Nobody I've ever known is on one side and both sides at the same time. That's what our Lord said, didn't it? You can't serve God and man. Can't do it. Can't love and run with the world and love and run with Christ. Can't do it. And the fact of the matter is, you're either running here or running there. You either believe Christ or you don't believe Christ. Either I believe Christ or I don't. And Christ said, you believe God? Oh, yeah, I believe God. You believe Me.
And what did he say? You can't serve God, man. He that loveth his life is going to lose it. You know, our Lord said as many hard things as he said comforting things to his sheep. If any man, read on, verse 46, verse 45, he that seeth me seeth God. All these people that refuse to believe Christ is God, they don't know him. Christ said, I'm God. Where did he say it? Said it right there, didn't it? He that seeth me seeth God. Verse 46, I am come a light into the world. A light into the world. And whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. The darkness of sin, abide in it. Whosoever believes Christ, whosoever is born of God, doth not sin, abideth not in sin, doth not live in that life of anymore. Don't do it. Don't do it. Cannot do it. Can't do it. They don't stay in ignorance. God's people don't stay ignorant. God's people don't live in fear. Perfect love casts it out. Superstition. They don't believe everything comes down the pike. They've been taught of God. They don't stay in tradition. They come out from among them, are separate from the way of the world. Religion. They don't stay in religion. They come to Christ. Read on. He said, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, he's talking about right then and there when he's standing on the earth. There's a time in which he is going to judge. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spoke of. The same shall judge him in the last day. I wish I fully understood this and believed this. But the very words that we're reading right now, the very words that we're either believing or not believing, the very words that some of you are loving and others are hating, is going to rise up in judgment against us. The very fact that someone's sitting here right now and could care less about this is going to rise up someday and say, remember this? That makes this serious to understand. It's the reason he says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's what makes what I'm doing right now the most serious thing on earth. People scoff and laugh at preachers, don't they? It's equally true today that God sends preachers. He said this to his apostles. He said, he that heareth you heareth me, didn't he? He that rejecteth you rejecteth me. Now that's only true of the man who preaches according to this word. And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, he said, I thank God that some of you, and oh, how I thank God that, you know, this is a miracle, that some of you would sit and listen day in and day out to this vain babbler with a Kentucky accent. It's a miracle. It's a miracle to me that I'm standing here, let alone that there's a crowd of people coming to hear me preach. It's a miracle. But Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and I say the same thing, I thank God that you received the word, not as the words of a man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you the belief. Some of you have actually been blessed by some preaching that goes on here. Not just me, but others. Isn't that a miracle? It's a miracle. This is the power of the word of God. This is the reason a true preacher dare not do anything else but preach this word. That's all I've done this morning.
That's all I've done. Let's go down through what Isaiah said, what our Lord said. That's all I've done. I don't want to do anything again. And he that receiveth it and believeth it hath eternal life and rejoices in it. But he that rejects it, I wouldn't preach another old sermon. Well. Just another sermon. Our Lord said this is going to rise up in the judgment. It's going to rise up in the judgment. Young and old. How many times? How many times will we hear it? How many times will we hear it? Young people, how many times? How many times? How many times? All right, Brother Joe, if you got a message or a song in message picked out.
233.
And the thing that, here, I give you good counsel and good advice. All those who waver, all those who are unsure, cry out. The Lord cried aloud. And he said, I tell you. And but if we'd hear that voice, we'd listen. He said, I'm telling you. If you don't hear me, God won't hear you the day you call. Isn't that what Proverbs 1 says? He says, there's coming a day when people are going to call out, cry out. And God says, I will not hear them. Isn't that what it says, Sherry? He says, I will not hear them. And the thing for us to do now, if we're just the least bit in doubt, is to cry out unto him. Depth of mercy. Cry for mercy. That's a good choice, Joe. Because that's the thing we cry on. Lord, have mercy. That's the thing we need more than anything. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. Depth of mercy. Can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare. Look at verse 2. It's a good verse. I have long withstood his grace. Long provoked him to his face. How's that? By listening time and time again and hardening our heart. Would not hearken to his call. I'm not sure I agree with grieving him by a thousand falls, but nevertheless, it angers God. Does it anger you when people won't listen to you? Before long, you say, all right, that's it. No more. Don't we? This is serious. This was a tough message to bring. Our Lord got tough there. He got tough. He got loud. And cry out. Cry out with this song, maybe.
Sing this song from the heart. Spin. Sing the first and third stanza.